శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యం స్వయం రూపకరామి స్వామికం పంచభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుదేవ పతితానాం పవనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత శివసహీ గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే ధనగ్రే మా ప్రభుత్వ హరే కృష్ణ. సో వీ రీడింగ్ ది ఫోర్త్ క్యాంట్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం చాప్టర్ 24 చాంటింగ్ ది సాంగ్ సంగ్ బై లార్డ్ శివ టెక్స్ 70. తం ఏవాత్మానమత్మస్తాం పూజయద్వాం గ్రీణంతశ్చ దయాంతశ్చ సకృద్ధరిం తం ఏవాత్మనమాత్మస్తం సర్వభూతేషు వస్థితం పూజయద్వాం గ్రీణంతశ్చ జయంతశ్చ సకృద్ధరిం. Synonyms, tam, unto him, eva, certainly, atmanam, the supreme soul, atmastam, within your hearts, sarva, all, bhuteshu, in every living being, avasthitam, situated. పూజయద్వం, జస్ట్ వర్షిప్ హిమ్. గ్రీణాంత చ, ఆల్వేస్ చాంటింగ్. దయాంత చ, ఆల్వేస్ మెడిటేటింగ్ అపాన్. ఆసక్రిత్, కంటిన్యూస్లీ. హరిం, the supreme personality of Godhead. Translation prepared by his divine grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Ishwar Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, O sons of the king, the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon Him constantly. Perfect. The word asakrit is significant, for it means not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka. Kirtanya Sada Hari. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds on their beats daily. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Haridas Thakur, Thakur Haridas, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. Some of the Goswamis, like Raghunath Das Goswami, were also chanting very rigidly and also offering obeisances very rigidly. As stated in Srinivasacharya's prayers to the Siddhu Goswamis, Sad Goswami Ashtaka, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natipi Kala Vasani Kritav. The word Sankhya Purvaka means maintaining a numerical strength. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting the holy name of the Lord, but he was also offering obeisances in the same prolific numbers. Because the princes were ready to enter into some severe austerity in order to worship the Lord, Lord Shiva advised them to constantly chant of and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is significant that Lord Shiva personally offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as he was taught by his father, Lord Brahma. Similarly, he was also preaching to the princes according to the Parampara system. One not only should practice the instructions received from the spiritual master, but should also distribute the knowledge to one's disciples. The words Atmanam Atmastham Sarvabhuteshu Avasthitam are also significant. The personality of Godhead is the origin of all living entities, because the living entities are parts and parcels of the world. He is the father of all of them. One can search out the Supreme Lord very easily within one's heart, for he is situated in every living entity's heart. In this verse, the process of worshipping the Lord is considered to be very easy and complete, for anyone can sit down anywhere and in any condition of life and simply chant the holy names of the Lord. By chanting and hearing, one automatically engages in meditation. End of the purport. Tam evatmanam atmastham sarvabhutesh avasthitam pujayadvam grinantascha deyantascha sakrit dharim. Therefore, O sons of the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon Him continuously. So, Lord Shiva is instructing Prachetas in the process of worshipping the Supreme Lord. And the best worship is to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Worship. This can be done in two ways. As we know, one is kirtan, congregational chanting, and the other one is japa, individual chanting. And even though kirtan is appearing to be much more exciting, nevertheless, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, Yajnanam Japa Yajnasmi, that of all the Yajnas, I am Japa Yajna. And as we understand, Yajna is first and foremost process of spiritual advancement, and Yajna means any activity for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And There is a serious reason why Krishna says that of all the yagyas, he is japa yagya. And why japa is so important for us, that Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the most important is to chant minimum 16 rounds a day on one's beats. So why japa is given such a significance? Anyone knows?
Because it is your personal time with Krishna?
Yes. It is completely devoid of all tinges of sense gratification, right? In kirtan you can enjoy melody, you can enjoy rhythm. You can fully forget about the holy name and enjoy music. That option is there. But in japa there is nothing like that, right? It's pure, we can say, conversation with God. And that's why it's so hard to focus on japa, right? Because it's completely devoid of all tinges of anything external. And while in kirtan you can kind of take advantage of the meditation of other people, right? And enjoy that, enjoy somebody else's devotion. In japa you cannot do that. It's one-on-one with Krishna, right? So that's why it's so hard. It's the hardest, probably one of the hardest elements in devotion, in devotional service. But nevertheless, this is very important. And actually, even though we are chanting 16 rounds minimum, but this is not the ideal standard, right? Srila Prabhupada, what was the original standard Srila Prabhupada suggested to the devotees?
64.
Yeah, 64 rounds a day. And then, Mukunda Maharaj, he was the one who had this conversation with Srila Prabhupada. He said, no, Srila Prabhupada, this is not possible, this is too much. Prabhupada said, okay, then 32. He said, even that is too much. And he said, okay, 25. He said, even that is too much. And then Prabhupada said, okay, at least 16. And Mukunda Maharaj said, even that is too much. And Prabhupada said, no, you cannot go below that. You cannot go below 16 rounds. And so, this is very important that sometimes devotees have this impression that 16 rounds is maximum I do a day, right? And therefore, after chanting 16 rounds, they nicely fold their beat back and put somewhere far away to take it only next day. But it is very important that Prabhupada said it is minimum and not maximum, which means, as Prabhupada says, don't waste time. If you have time, chant Hare Krishna. So whenever we have time, we should, whenever we have opportunity, we should actually chant more than 16 rounds. And as Srila Prabhupada quotes in this purport, Sankhya Purvaka, that means numerical strength. So we might wonder, you know, that Krishna consciousness should be all spontaneous. Why all these numbers are given? Why are we conditioned by those numbers? And also, another very important question is where it is recommended that we should chant Hare Krishna mantra specifically. Why do we chant Hare Krishna mantra and not some other mantra? There are so many mantras in Vedic literature, so why Hare Krishna mantra?
It's Mahamantra.
Yes, where it's coming from? Kali Santarana Upanishad, yes. This is the Vedic authority which is recommending us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And what is Kali Santarana Upanishad? It is a conversation between Narad Muni and Lord Brahma. And Narad Muni, being very compassionate, sage, and being Trikalagya, knowing what will be happening in future also, he could foresee the condition of people in Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga is very precarious age. Prayana Alpa Yusha Sabhya Kalavasmi Nyugedrana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yubhadrataha. It says that Prayana Alpa Ayush, that the duration of life of people of Kali Yuga is very short. We know that maximum people live only 100 years. And before, people lived in Vapara Yuga, people lived up to 1,000 years, and Treta Yuga up to 10,000, and Satya Yuga up to 100,000. And actually, we might say, where is the proof? Actually, even in Bible, you read, you can see that all the generations of the, you know, great rulers and saintly personalities, they had hundreds of years, they lived hundreds of years. Some lived 5, some lived 600 of years. So this was the previous age. And so, but now we can see that 100 years is very, very rare. Right? And those people who lived up to 100, they are all listed as special achievers in Kali Yuga. And actually, before the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the duration of life was really short. If you, I think historians, they speak about dark ages, and people lived very short life, 20, 30, 40 years, that was it. And after the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we could see, okay, that it's improving gradually. Right? Now, finally, some, at least, you know, and yeah, most people, actually, they live up to 75, 80 years, right? But yeah, in general, 100 years is very short. We might say, oh, what is, it's not really short. Well, if I tell you, you only have 35 thousand days to live, that's it. Actually, that's 100 years. From A to Z, from cradle to grave, that's 3,500 years. 35,000 years, I mean, 35,000 days, that's all we have. So it's really short. And most of the people don't even live that long. And so, yes, this is Kali Yuga. Prayama Payusha Sapya Kalavasmi Nivyajana. And Manda. People are very lazy. They're not very lazy when it comes to sense gratification, right? They become very active. very enthusiastic when it comes to sense gratification. But when it comes to actually doing something for self-realization, they become very lazy. Oh no, I cannot chant my rounds. I cannot listen to this class. I cannot do that. As Prabhupada was saying, chant, 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 can't, can't, can't. So that's Kali Yuga laziness, spiritual laziness. And Sumanda Mataya. And not only people are lazy, but they're also crazy. So many people are disturbed, right? Mentally disturbed. Actually, certain mental diseases, they are so widespread that they are not even considered to be mental diseases anymore, right? Because if they are classified as mental diseases, then you have to lock, you know, 99% of the population in mental asylum, right? So that's the situation. And Manda Bhagya, of course, very unlucky. All these things go wrong. People plan for something and then something else is happening. And what is the result? Upagrataha. Depressed. Always depressed, always. Unfortunate. So, this is Kali Yuga. And of course, devotees, they are very concerned about the position of people. And they are always thinking, how can we help? What can we do to uplift this society? And so Narada Muni came to Lord Brahma and he was asking him, and this is what Kalisantaran Upanishad tells, that how can these poor people in the age of Kali be saved? And Lord Brahma says there is only one method. It is adasakam nam nam kali kalmasanasaram. That there is only one mantra consisting of 16 names of the Supreme Lord, which can totally destroy all evil effects of Kali Yuga, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. And what is this mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, at the end, Lord Brahma says very interesting thing. He says, for complete liberation, one should chant this mantra 35 million times. And then, it's very interesting, 16 rounds. If you divide it, because 16 rounds, anyone knows how many times you chant full Maha Mantra, if you chant 16 rounds? Yeah, 1728, right? 1728, right? So that this is the number of times you chant full Maha Mantra if you do 16 rounds, supposed to, if you don't skip the beats, which does happen with devotees when they are in rush. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Ooh, 1 minute, 1 minute, one round. Beads are smoking in the hand. But yeah, if you chant attentively and don't miss any beats, it's supposed to be 1,728. And then some devotee calculated. He said, if you divide 35 million, if someone is good in math, you can do that. 35 million divided by 1,728 and multiply by the number of days, or divide, anyway, if you calculate how many years it will take, it comes to roughly 70 something, about 80 years. And so we can understand that if you chant less than 16, you will not be able to perfect your life in one lifetime. How many years?
55.
55 years, okay. A little less than that. Mm-hmm. But still, only some who are born in the movement are lucky enough to start very early in life, right? Mostly we start later. And so if you joined when you are 20 or 25, you can hardly have enough time in this lifetime to complete that quota. And so we can understand that numbers are also important, because we do not chant the holy name purely. The holy name is purifying agent. Of course, the holy name is pure, but we are not. And so that's why Chetadarpanamarjanam. The first thing what's happening is our consciousness becomes purified. There are so many types of contamination in the consciousness. Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that in the same way as fire is covered by smoke, the embryo covered by the womb, and the mirror covered by dust, in the same way the consciousness of the living entity is covered by lust. And so therefore chanting is purifying the mirror of the heart, right? And it takes time, because that mirror is not, I mean, it says dust, but you know, there are so many layers of dust accumulated for so many, not just years, but lifetimes. And so that's why it takes time to purify our consciousness, right? Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains a very interesting thing. He says, Krishna is all attractive, right? The name Krishna means all attractive. And so then, why do we see that phenomenon that our consciousness is not automatically attracted by Krishna, right? Okay, we come and then we stay for 1 minute, have darshan, and then move on. Because we don't have so much attraction. And so Prabhupada explains that yes, Krishna is all attractive. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj says that in the same way as magnet attracts iron, so the consciousness of living entity is automatically attracted by Krishna. So then, why our consciousness is not attracted to Krishna? Right? Is that a good question?
Yes.
Anyone knows the answer?
Yes. Because of the dust.
The heart is different.
Not just that, but Prabhupada said it's not just dust, it is rust. It's not always that iron can be attracted to magnet. If iron is covered by rust, then there is no attraction. And actually, our consciousness is covered by the rust of material desires. And so that rust has to be purified in order for us to be attracted to Krishna. And so we can understand it's this Chetadarpanamarjanam is pretty serious process. And so it's very rigid cleansing process. And it takes time. And that's why the more we chant, the sooner we will become purified. And in Harinama Chintamani, Haridas Thakur says that actually quality of the of one's chanting is depending on the quantity of one's chanting. Very interesting. The more one chants, the better one chants, because the consciousness becomes purified. It's very interesting. I've noticed some time ago that real rounds start after 16. After, you know, starting with 17th round, then you have real job. And if you chant more, sometimes devotees do chant more. You can see that very clearly, that after 20, 30, 40 rounds, then your japa, the quality of your japa becomes totally different. Anyone have this experience? If you chant more, then it's actually easier to focus because the consciousness becomes purified. And it's very interesting that if you chant 16, and the mind can see the end of your rounds, and it's very easy to think beyond rounds, right? About something you want to do in your life. And so you can actually afford not to think of your rounds, right? But you can afford the thinking of what you want to do. But if you chant 64 rounds, the mind cannot see the end of it. And so then the mind surrenders. The mind says, okay, I cannot see the end of it. Let me try to focus on the chanting. And so, yeah, this is why it's very important for us. Of course, we don't say that everyone should stop doing everything we do and just chant 64 rounds, but if there is an opportunity, if there is some spare time, we should not waste it. But that's why you can see, you know, all serious devotees, they always carry their beads with them. Why? Because if there is any spare moment, they always chant. Because this is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So the more we become purified, the easier it gets, the more we become free from the blazing fire of material existence. And Shriyakai Ravachandrika Vitaranam. Everything auspicious comes in our lives. And we have this first-hand experience. Vidyamadu Jivanam. We get transcendental knowledge. And it's very amazing how many people live and they have no idea what's the purpose of their life, who they are, nothing. But we have all this. And Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, it's quite amazing that devotees can chant and dance. I mean, the only time materialistic people chant and dance is when they are drunk, right? But devotees can chant and dance all the time. And pratipadam putnamrita svadhanam, and then there is a nectar at every step if you perform devotional service. Because that's sarvatma snapanamparam, that is the purification on the level of the soul. So there are so many benefits we gain from this simple process of chanting the holy name. And the same Harinama Chintamani explains that as a huge seed, as a huge tree, like banyan tree, is contained within one small seed. And banyan seeds are very small. Anyone has seen banyan seed? Anyone have seen that. Actually, banyan is belonging to the fig tree family, and I'm pretty sure that all of you know what is the size of a fig seed, right? It's really small. So that small seed and banyan seed is pretty much the same size. And so banyan seed, that small little seed, is containing huge banyan tree, which can grow into the whole forest. And so Harinama Chintamani is giving that analogy, that in the same way, the holy name of Krishna, because holy name is no different from Krishna, is containing the entire spiritual world. And so when we chant the holy name, the entire spiritual world unfolds in front of our eyes gradually. It's like in here in Melbourne, for example, that at some point, just a few decades ago, there have been nothing in here, right? No temple, no devotees, no festivals, no prasadam, no books. Because no one chanted the holy name. And then historically, we don't know who was the first devotee who started chanting the holy name in Melbourne. But definitely there was someone first. Balimardhan Prabhu. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, one of the early Prabhupada disciples came here and started chanting the holy name. And then gradually everything started manifesting from the holy name. Right? We have holy name, then devotees. You know, some people who never knew that they're Hare Krishna devotees. So they come across the holy name, they realize, okay, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee now. And then the devotees appeared from the holy name, and then temple appeared from the holy name, and everything else. And now there are so many things. Restaurants, preaching programs, you name it. Festivals. Everything is happening. And it all grew out of the holy name. And so you can see practically, Melbourne is not the only place. So in so many places on the planet, everything manifests by the mercy of the holy name. It's like pretty much everything out of nothing. because materially, just chanting three words, because Hare Krishna mantra is just three words, right? Hare Krishna, Rama, that's it. And then different combinations of that, that's the Maha Mantra. And for uninformed people, it seems to be really strange. Actually, it seems to be crazy. Why these people repeat these three words? Hare Krishna, Rama. I remember one time I was in a hospital, and I was actually quite happy because I was so busy with doing so many services, and I was thinking, Krishna, I would like to have some break to actually read Bhagavatam and chant my rounds attentively and listen to classes and do a few things I wanted to do. And then I got into hospital. I was happy. I think, oh, I have my break now. I can read Bhagavatam, I can do all these things. But then I was in the same ward with a few people, and they were like ordinary people, some factory workers or something like that. And they have seen me, you know, chanting and reading books, and then they figured out that, and you know, rising too early, etc., and doing so many strange things, they realized, okay, this is some kind of strange guy, some cult member. And then One of them was curious enough to come and asking me, who are you, what are you doing? So I kind of explained to him. And then he said, what is this? Are you doing with your beads? So I explained to him that these are the names of God I'm chanting. And he said, how many times do you do that? I said, well, it's minimum 1,728 times a day. And then he told me pretty bluntly, he said, now I can understand why are you so strange? Because you repeat the same, you know, words so many times every day, and naturally, you know, if I would repeat the same words, I would definitely go crazy. So that explains why you're so strange. And so it's not that I became offended personally, but I was thinking, you know, it's not good for him to have this kind of impression of the devotees, that devotees are crazy. And so I said, okay, so what you're trying to say, that I'm crazy just because I'm repeating these words, right? He said, yeah, this is how it is. And I said, okay, so you're not repeating those words, so that means you're not crazy, right? He said, yeah, I'm normal. I said, okay, let's discuss. What is the definition of someone who is crazy? He said, what is the definition you suggest? I said, what about someone who is doing things which are harmful to him and harmful to others? Is that a good definition of someone who is crazy? He said, yeah, that's a good definition. I said, okay, are you smoking? He said, yes, I do. Is smoking harmful to you? Yes. Is it harmful to others? Yes. Okay. Are you drinking? Yes, I do. Is drinking bad for you? Yes. Is drinking bad for others? Yes, also. What about meat eating? You eating meat? I do. Do you know that meat eating is bad for your health? Yeah, I heard about it. And so do you think the animals you eat are happy with it? Not really. So I said, according to the definition you've agreed, you are doing so many things which are bad for you and bad for others. And I'm not doing these things. Now, who is crazy? He said, I have to think about it. And he went for a cigarette break. And then he came back and he started asking so many questions. And, you know, like, it was a distraction for me because I wanted to read, you know, Bhagavatam. And I said, you have too many questions, so here is the book for you. Perfect questions, perfect answers. Go and read this book and, you know, then you will know all the answers. But the guy, instead of, you know, just reading quietly for himself, you know, he brought together his friends and he started reading this book out loud and giving some ridiculous commentaries on this, on Prabhupada's book. And I, you know, had to interfere. I had to, you know, tell him what the real purpose is, etc. But, this is how it is perceived by materialistic people, that, oh, these guys are really strange. Crazy. This was the first thing, this was my introduction to the Hare Krishna movement. Because I was in Russia and it was communist time, so there was no chance to get any spiritual knowledge. Even traditional religions were suppressed, not to speak of anything else. But I was looking for spiritual knowledge, and then I came across one brochure, which was communist brochure, describing different cults, dangerous cults. And I was thinking, okay, let me read it out, maybe I'll gain some value from it. Read between the lines. And one article was very vicious. It was directed against one group, and the article started with the statement that this group is the worst of all, because everyone who is in that group is completely crazy. And what is the proof that people are crazy? Because, you know, men are not dressed normally, they dress in bed sheets, and women dressed in curtains, and they put dirt on their forehead, and men are shaving their head, but not completely, some part of the head remains unshaved. And looking like that, they go out on the street and they harass people, trying to sell them books no one understands. And if no one buys their books, they become frustrated, and in their frustration sometimes they shout very loudly, and sometimes they murmur to themselves meaningless words. And the words were, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And when I read this, I was thinking, and also article explained about forever the principles, that was another proof that these people are crazy. Especially in Russia, if somebody is not drinking Russian vodka, that's a sure proof that he is crazy. And so, but then I was thinking, you know, crazy people, they cannot follow any discipline. But this group follows very rigid discipline. So they cannot be crazy. And plus, they chant the same words. Crazy people can chant meaningless, can say meaningless words, that's fine. But why the words are the same? So know that these words must have meaning. So I have to find out what the meanings of the words are. And then I started asking from my friends, do you know any Hare Krishnas? Do you know anything about Hare Krishna? So this is how my search began. And I think it still continues to this day, trying to understand the deeper meaning of the holy names. And this is how people perceive, materialistic people perceive, that Prabhupada wrote one article, Who is Crazy? And he said, we are accused at brainwashing, that we are brainwashing people. So why they complain? If their brain is dirty, you know, contaminated with so many things, it needs to be washed. But of course, if someone is attached to the contamination, they will complain, why you wash our brain? Let our brain be dirty. And Prabhupada said, it's not actually brainwashing movement, it's brain giving movement. Because people don't even have any brain to start with. So that's why. Yeah. I mean, it is unfortunate truth. Because, for example, drinking, which is so popular, right? What it does, it dissolves brain. Literally, physically, it dissolves brain. My friend, who is a medical doctor, he is a devotee, he told me that when they were studying medical science, and they go to this anatomical theater, pathological, whatever, they demonstrate the dead bodies and some pathologies.
Autopsy.
Yeah. Anyway, they do it as students. And he said one time they were introduced to one body of a man, apparently some criminal with very, you know, ugly tattoos on his body. And his skull was open you know, big man with big head, but then his brain was like very small inside. And the professor said, it's not that his brain was originally like that, but because he was alcoholic and he was drinking, then alcohol dissolved his brain and only, you know, little part remained. So this is what alcohol really does. It dissolves people's brain.
Oligopremia.
Yeah, that's different, but, you know, all these substances, they dissolve brain. And so then people live with no brain. And so, yeah, people just don't know what they are doing with their lives. And because they are crazy, they think that those who are not living the way they live, they are crazy. You know, it's like everything is topsy-turvy. And that's why Prabhupada said people just have to be educated and trained and saved from all these, of doing all these dangerous things. And so after the devotees experience Krishna consciousness and gain so many benefits from chanting the holy name, naturally they want to share these benefits with other people to help them also. So that's kind of natural tendency. Hare Krishna. So, should we stop here, or? Yeah, if anyone has any questions, comments here.
How was your Christian encounter with devotees, and how did you find them?
What was my first encounter with devotees? Well, after I learned about the movement and I wanted to know more, but the devotees were prosecuted at the time and most of them were in jail, and those who were not, they were underground, so it was very hard to get in touch with them. And so my friend, he said he cannot really like put me in touch with the devotees, but he said he can bring me some books to read. So he gave me, first he gave me some small book, but then this book was referring to Bhagavad Gita. So I said, can you bring me this Bhagavad Gita? And so he said, this is very dangerous because for this book, we can both go to jail if anyone sees us with this book, so make sure no one actually sees us. And so he brought Bhagavad Gita to me, and immediately I knew that this is the book I always wanted to read because everything is so clearly explained. Who is God, what is soul, karma, yoga, reincarnation, meditation, you name it.
Yeah.
All the subject matters of knowledge are so clearly elaborated. And so I asked him, can I borrow this book and read it? And he said, no. I told him, I'll pay you money, I'll read the book and give it back to you. He said, no, because it's too dangerous. And so no matter how much I pleaded, and I offered him very serious amount of money, he said, no, I don't want to lose my freedom. So he took Bhagavad Gita and I never saw it again. And then I thought, okay, I should find my own copy. I should buy it from somewhere. I was looking for 3 years. I couldn't find it. And after I lost hope, I was walking down the street and then a devotee came to me in disguise. I had no idea who he is, and he said, I have some interesting books if you want to see. And then I immediately sensed that he must have Bhagavad Gita, and then he offered me Bhagavad Gita. I was, you know, ecstatic. And I was ready to pay him anything he wanted, but he quoted some really ridiculously low price. I was thinking how this man is ready to part with such a valuable book for nothing. I had no idea about book distribution then. And I was reading Bhagavad Gita to all my friends. I've lost a few friends just by reading Bhagavad Gita to them. Like one of my friends, he worked so hard, and I just happened, with no ill intention, I just started reading to him the text about four types of people who never surrender to Krishna. And especially Prabhupada gives very graphical description of the mudas, of the asses, hard-working asses. And so after he heard that person, he said, okay, according to your book, I am an ass. I don't want to know your book and you also. So I lost him straight away. But, you know, other friends were appreciative, etc. So this was the beginning. Yes?
Is it not that our consciousness is covered by rust, that is material desires, then how can we take out them? Then how can we take out the rust?
How can we take out the rust of material desires? By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more you chant, the more the rust becomes cleansed. And then after we completely clean, we become fully ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Sometimes when you chant our japa, sometimes when I chant my japa, my mind goes really like mad, and it's much more mad than even usually during the day. So I was wondering if you have any advice on that. Like,
mad in which way?
Like in a negative way.
In a negative way? Yeah, it can happen sometimes because the Hare Krishna mantra is removing the anarthas, and when the anarthas are removed, you know, then, you know, before they remove, they come out to the surface. So, and it's kind of an effect which I think many devotees notice, that how many of you ever had this thought that before I started chanting Hare Krishna, I didn't know how bad I am, but after I started chanting Hare Krishna, I see so many problems in myself. Yeah, it's very difficult. Because before the anartha is removed, we can actually see that. And naturally, you know, we have to face all these anarthas, and that can disturb our minds. But we just need to remember that it's a process, and we should not be attached to our anarthas in either positive or negative way. Okay. It just comes, you know, it's a cleansing process. Of course, it's hard. I mean, anyone who has done cleaning, you know, sometimes you come to the room and it seems to be perfectly clean. But after you start cleaning, you realize how dirty it is, right? So in the same way, our consciousness, before we started chanting, we never realized how many problems we have. But, you know, it's just a process. Okay, I see the problem, and I tell this problem goodbye. So we should not be attached or disturbed by any problems. It's just, you know, the process of purification. Nothing special about it. Not to identify ourselves with the mind.
What if we do japa without beads and in our mind? Does that count like in japa?
Yeah. Prabhupada says 16 rounds on beads and unlimited rounds without beads. Yeah, we can. But 16 rounds should be done on beads, especially for initiated devotees. And then without beads, we can chant as much as we want.
Maharaj just spoke about Prabhupada's quote on, you know, our process is not just the brainwashing, but actually it's brain giving movement and being the products of Kali Yuga, you know. At least I can see for myself not having much of a brain. So then how are we able to understand this process first? And secondly, I guess the same answer will apply to also how do we give this process to others? How will they understand this knowledge?
Yeah. Actually, this reminds me of some piece of scientific research I came across. It's called Denian-Kruger's effect. So there were like these two scientists, and they, through research, they came to a very amazing conclusion. And the conclusion was that the more qualified people are, the more they think they are unqualified. And the more unqualified people are, the more they feel they are qualified. And we know this Denian-Kruger's effect since Mahabharata times, right? When Yudhishthir and Duryodhan got the task, Yudhishthir was supposed to find someone who is worse than him on the planet, and Duryodhan was supposed to find someone who is better than him. And both failed. So that shows that actually I can see that amongst the devotees, that devotees, of course, are best people, really, and they have very high qualification in so many things. But because devotees are naturally humble, they don't think they are qualified. But actually, they, you know, those who think that they are not qualified, they should be taking more responsibility. And I'm thinking so many examples in Bhagavatam and in Gita. For example, Arjuna, he was not thinking qualified. He was for having kingdom and fame and power. But Krishna said no. Arjuna was the only one who didn't want to fight for all these things, right? Everybody else was so much for it. But then Krishna said, no, Arjuna, you have to have all these things. Because he was selfless. He didn't want anything for himself. Same Prahlad Maharaj, right? When Prahlad Maharaj was offering his prayers to Nrsingadev, he said, I have no material desires. I don't want this kingdom, this power, this wealth. I've seen what happened to my father. I'm not interested in this. And Nrsingadev said, okay, very good, now you become the king. Right? And Dhruva Maharaj, same way. After he got darshan of Lord Vishnu, he said, no, I'm not interested in the kingdom. And Vishnu said, very good, now you become the king for, what, 60,000 years? 36,000 years. So, yeah, the one who is devotee actually should enjoy everything in the material world, because he will not do it for himself. It's like when Srila Prabhupada was giving Bhavananda Prabhu his name. And, you know, of course, Bhava has different meanings. One meaning of Bhava is preliminary love of God, and of course Bhavananda, right? Enjoying preliminary love of God. But Prabhupada gave different translation. He said Bhava means ocean of material existence, and Ananda means enjoying. So he said, and Bhavananda Prabhu said, well, this is a very dangerous name. Enjoying material life. And Prabhupada said, no, devotee is the only one who can enjoy the material world. Because devotee never uses anything for himself, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. So yeah, I think if we think we are not qualified, this is the best qualification for taking responsibility for helping other people. All right, so thank you all very much. We'll stop here. Grantarachimad Bhagavatam Kiyai. Swami Prabhupada Kiyai.